You may be seated. As we continue on in worship, God has given us so many tools and so many avenues in which worship is available to us. And one of those things that we don't really think about as worship is prayer. Maybe you do, but prayer is worship. Kneeling before our King, bowing our heads to our Creator, acknowledging that He's our Maker and Savior. This is our time as a church that we let God know how rejoiceful we are. No matter what scenario we find ourselves in, God is good. God is good. Let me repeat that again, that whatever situation you find yourself in, God is good. And one of the reasons God is so good is that He goes through every situation with us, loves us through it, carries us. We spend this time acknowledging that. We're going to take offering too. That is another way that we worship. It's letting us know, letting God know what He gave us, we return right back to Him. That we say, yes, this is yours. Please do it what you need to do with this. And we do it with a cheerful heart because we know God is good. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning we pray that we celebrate You above everything else. Maybe this morning our attitude needs to change and our hearts need to be open to receive You. Maybe we've had one of those weeks that we just feel so lost, so alone. Maybe we've had one of those weeks that everything is going just right. Lord, may we acknowledge You, that You are the God over the good and the bad, that You love us through it all. I pray that we are able to set all our expectations to this side and allow You to have expectations on us this morning. I pray that You fill up our cup. I pray that we don't care what our voices sound like, long as they're singing them to You. Lord, when we acknowledge You this morning, may we understand that we're acknowledging our Creator, our Maker, and our Savior. Lord, I pray this morning, whatever we give, whatever we put in that plate, that we know that it is to do it as part of worshiping You, and that we give with a cheerful heart, and we're just giving back to You what You've given us. Lord, I pray that You use us, that You use this offering, that You use us to glorify Your name, to move in this community, to spread the good news to our friends, to our neighbors, to our family. Lord, this morning, I pray, whatever attitude we have, that You come in and that Your Spirit moves us to be one that we are ready to worship You. Fill up our cups this morning. I pray that our offerings are sacrificial. We give You all the praise this morning. Amen. Thank you. little bit different today. I'm up a little bit earlier than normal, I think. I'm not going to be preaching for a half hour. In fact, I'm going to be preaching for a little bit of this morning, so you're welcome, all right? This morning, we are going to continue worshiping. We're going to continue singing. And the idea is for us to understand through the week, worship doesn't need to end. In fact, we all have something that we worship. Whatever we spend our time on, whatever we put in front of God, has a tendency to be the thing that we worship. What I want us to understand is that worship doesn't stop on Sunday. It is a life choice, and everything that we do from this point on either points to God or not. And the way that we feel fulfilled, the way that we feel moved, the way that we feel emotions, if it's God-centered, it's holy-centered. If it's God-centered, we become centered with God. And we start seeing everything in the viewpoint of what God is doing. And it's easy to worship Him when we see it, even when things are horrible. Trust me, I've seen it happen. We've talked about testimonies. We talked about people being given testimonies in life situations. You're like, why are you praising God that you have this horrible thing going on? And the reality is this, that they understand what worshiping God is beyond our own circumstances. It's beyond that. It's this spiritual thought process that God is moving and He loves me even though I'm going through this. And He loves me so much that He's going through this with me. That's such an awesome, no other religion has this. No other God cares enough to feel your pain, to walk through it with you. Worship is this. You can. I don't have it on the screen. I don't have the clicker. This is our rhythm. I chose not to put it on the screen with this scripture because this is my desire for you this morning. Open your Bibles. Open your apps. If you don't have a Bible, scoot next to somebody that you think doesn't have COVID. All right. If you feel comfortable, this is what I want you to do. Open up your Bibles. And we're at Psalms 40, and you'll find that what I'm reading from 9 through 10. Psalms 40. I'll give you a couple seconds to get there. It's in the Old Testament. It starts with a P. Psalms 40, 9 through 10. And the reason why I want you to pull it up, reason why I want you to read it to yourselves, is there's something I want you to highlight in this. All right? I'll read it. I have told you the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. See, I have not restrained my lips. As you know, Lord, I have not hidden your saving help within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and of your salvation. I have not concealed your steadfast love, your faithfulness from the great congregation. This is the word I want you to underline. It is 9. All right? I have not restrained my lips. Restrained. I think we live in a time where we restrain so many times where we need to give God the glory. That He deserves our worship, and it's easier to keep a silent lip. And I will tell you, those moments that we have restrained, those moments that we have held back, I'm telling you right now, it affects us personally. It changes our heart a little bit. Those who don't restrain through the week of worshiping God, I'm telling you right now, they look, act, and feel, and seem different. And I guarantee you, you could probably point to somebody in your life that you go, man, I guarantee they probably worship through the week. They're not restraining. And it doesn't mean that we have to be in a great attitude. It doesn't mean we have to have a life that's perfect. What it means is in it all, it is shine a light on Jesus and God that these things are minimal. And that our God is big. Do not live a restrained worship life. Allow your lips to be free. This world needs to hear our cheer, needs to hear how amazing God is. They need to know that your love for God is real. You need to be more excited about what God is doing than anything else in this entire world. It should motivate you, excite you, and be ready to get up in the morning to tell His story, to worship His name. And I'm going to tell you right now, this is work. It takes effort. You know what doesn't take effort? Being quiet. You know what doesn't take effort? Becoming comfortable with where I am at with God. And then saying, where's God? Why isn't He moving? The more that we become restrained, the harder it is to see where God is moving in our lives. Another verse that I want you to look at, same reason I didn't put it up there, because there's a word I want you to underline. It's in Romans 12. It's 12:1, just 12:1. I'll give you a couple minutes, because I want you to see it. I want you to look at it. I want these verses to resonate with you this week. I would challenge you to read them daily, just over and over, to ask the question, where have I been restraining, where God needs me to be vocal? In Romans 12, it says this, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. There's two words I want you to underline. Living sacrifice. Two words that don't necessarily should go along together, right? Living and sacrifice. We become alive the moment that we accept Jesus Christ in our life. We're born again. Guess what? He calls us to live that way. To be living sacrifices that we worship in that way. And that everything else in our life bows down to this. Molds to this. Our passion and our understanding of life is formulated from God. Listen to that again. Our passion, our understanding of why I get up in the morning is formulated through God. I don't wake up just to make a paycheck. I don't wake up to necessarily be the best scientist or a best teacher or a best janitor. I don't wake up to just be the best in that. I wake up to be the best follower of Jesus Christ that I can be. And that this world sees not me, but sees Jesus through me. And you can't do that with restrained lips. You can't do that without living a sacrificial life and understanding, I may want this, but does it line up with God? Is God your passion this morning? Are you ready to worship God this morning? See, that's the question. We're going to have the music again. We're going to bring up the band in a couple seconds, and they're going to lead us in more worship. But this is the question that I want you to start asking yourself. Why do I sing? And is it just on Sunday? Does my life sing out what God has done for me? Do the people around me, am I infectious with a worship lifestyle? Do people come up and go, oh no, he's going to talk about Jesus and what he's doing in his life? Because in reality, they need to hear it. They need to know it. And I'm not saying that you go up to them, Jesus is better for you. What I'm saying is that you acknowledge Jesus is the only thing for me. Jesus is why I love you today. Right? Now, maybe not say that to them, but they need to know that you're there, the biggest, you are the biggest cheerleader of God. And it's not that God needs it, but boy, does he deserve it. He's mended you with every fiber of your being. He loves you no matter what. Let me repeat. He loves you no matter what. He sent his son to die for you. So you guys and me can have a relationship that's pure because of that. That he finds no fault in. That we don't earn. We don't have to clean up before him. He does the cleaning. He does the loving. He bears the brunt of the relationship. That's how much he loves you. That's why we live a worship life. That's why we can't be contained and restrained as followers of Jesus. The world should expect us to be loud and obnoxious with his grace, his mercy, his love. The world should expect us to be loud with the praises of our Creator. That should be the first thing they see about us, that we are so in love with our God because of how much he loves us. We need to become living sacrifices for him. God should be expecting us to do that. We have a video.